Please turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Let's pray. We pray, Lord, that you might guide us as we look at the Word of God, learn how to study the Word of God, that we might see and understand it, be able to put it into practice, and that it might be a blessing in our lives and to others. We pray and we trust thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. What we are looking at this evening is the devotional Bible study method, and this is lesson 2 of the devotional Bible study method. It's one of 12 different methods that you could use to study the Word of God. And we're going to look at how to do it and how to make this devotional Bible study method a blessing in your life if you will do it. Now, there are four steps, and you might want to note these, and I'll go over them quickly, but then I'll go over each one of them in detail, so you'll be able to put those down. But there are four steps. This is a passage of Scripture that I have selected as an example. You would select a passage of Scripture. You could say, this is the passage of Scripture I'd like to do the devotional Bible study method on this passage of Scripture. And here are the four steps you use for the devotional Bible study method. Step one is you'll read the passage and then pray about it. You read and then pray. Number two, you meditate upon it. Number three, you write the application. And four, memorize a portion of Scripture. All right, now, this is a passage of Scripture. We'll just read the first couple verses again to remind you. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, if you were to read this passage of Scripture quickly in your devotions, and remember, we are separating a difference between your personal Bible reading devotions and your Bible study. Hopefully that you would be able to read a portion of Scripture every day and be able to at least think on it a little bit, and that we'd call your devotions. Bible study method is a time when you're going to put aside, you know you have time, you know you won't be rushed, you know you'll have time to do it, and to put these things into practice, the time to meditate, the time to write the application, the time to memorize. It's that particular time when you know you're not pressed for something else, once or twice or three times a week, whatever you are able to do. If you read this passage of Scripture in just your devotions, you would read it. It would be good for you. You'd go on your way, but the truth is, most of it would soon be forgotten. And that would be it. Maybe not totally forgotten, but it would be forgotten. Whereas this method that we're talking about now, this Bible study method, if you will discipline yourself to carry out this method, it will be a real benefit in your life. It should be a life-changing benefit in your life if you would do this method. Devotions are good, but this can be life-changing. All right, let's go through the four steps now. The first step is that you read the passage of Scripture that you have selected, and then you ask the Lord to help you understand it. Now, you may not understand it right away. You don't think, because he said, Lord, help me understand that, that suddenly there's going to be a beam from the sky and say, this is exactly what that means. Don't worry about it. That is not how the Lord deals with us. The Lord deals with us in a way that we have a lifetime of learning about Holy Scripture, and then we still haven't learned it all. So don't expect that you're just going to suddenly understand it, but you do want to ask the Lord, so he knows that you want to understand that passage of Scripture, and somewhere along the line you'll get a better understanding of the Scripture. The second thing I would pray, besides asking the Lord to help you understand it, is ask the Lord to remind you to do it. Remind you to do it. Find out what it is in a passage of Scripture you ought to do, and ask him to remind you that you may do what's in the Word of God, lest we forget. All right, that's number one, read and pray are the four steps. Step number two is meditate. Meditating on the Word of God. And I'm going to show you a little bit how to do that right now. Now let's look again at verse 12. Let me read it again to you. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now here's definitely a difficult phrase in the Word of God to understand. Definitely difficult, that last phrase, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And now I ask you the question, is thinking on this, that would be meditating, is thinking on this phrase going to help you understand it? If you think on it a lot, will that help you understand it? Well, the answer to that question is, if you break it down, it will. If you break it down, it will. And I'm going to show you how to break down a verse right now. It's not that hard, but if you break down the verse in your thinking process, in your meditating upon it process, if you'll break down the verse, then you will get somewhere. All right, so let's break down the verse. And by doing that, we just want to take, you know, kind of phrase by phrase and see what exactly each phrase is saying. Wherefore, my beloved... Now, who do you think he's referring to there? That's what I got to think. First thing I think of, he says, my beloved. Do you think he's talking to the lost? No. It's more likely he's talking to the saved. As ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Then he tells them, you've done real well, because you've obeyed the Word of God, but you not only obeyed the Word of God when I was there, and you could kind of see me as an authority, and you're afraid to do otherwise, but you obeyed the Word of God real good even when I wasn't there. So, who is he speaking to here? Who is he speaking? He says, my beloved, and he says, you've obeyed in my, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. The first thing that's going to lead you to believe is that he is speaking to saved people. He calls them my beloved. He says, you've obeyed. So the first conclusion of the first part of this sentence is that he is addressing people who are obedient and have saved. Now, the second part says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He says, work out. Now, we're going to break this down. This is all part of meditating upon this verse. Because the first thing we've concluded is that this in this one sentence, he is addressing saved people. He says, work out your own salvation. Now, you say then, you're going to continue on your thinking process. Is this how you get saved? Work out your salvation? Working out your own salvation, is that how you get saved? And you're going to say to yourself, if you're a child of God, you're going to say to yourself, no, of course it's not how you get saved, because there are all of these verses throughout Holy Scripture that say, that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and therefore being justified by faith. And so it is established by the weight of many, many, many verses that salvation is by faith and it's not by works. So now I've come up with two things. I'm thinking about this verse as I'm determining what it means in my meditation. First of all, I see he is addressing saved people, and he says, work out your own salvation. Now, if they're already saved, if they're already obedient, you know, it's that they certainly don't have to work to get saved if they are already saved. And then the next thing we know is that all of Scripture does not teach that it is by working. So, you see, there's a process that we're doing here as we are meditating upon this verse. We are breaking it down. Now let's go on just a little bit further. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, you see, who is he addressing? Who is he addressing here? He says, God which worketh in you. He says, God is working in you. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the saved. He starts out by saying, beloved. He's talking to the saved. He then says, obedience. He's talking to the saved. And after the difficult phrase, he is saying, when he says, work out your own salvation, the next thing he says is, God is working in you. So, we're talking to the saved. When you're saved, he is working, he's in you working, but, with a lot of people who are saved, though God is within them working, it doesn't always show, does it? It doesn't always show. People where they labor, where they work at work, where they make a living, may not know that that person is saved because it doesn't show. They're saved, God's working in them, but it doesn't show. All right. Now, that's a lot of things to think about, you see. You're breaking it down. You might want to list those things as you break down a verse to try to understand the verse. The next thing I want to do with this verse is to look at this. And this is very important when you read the Word of God. It's very important. Say, what doesn't it say? That's always very important when you're reading and trying to understand a verse. You have a little trouble with a verse, say, what doesn't it say? What exactly does it say? But what doesn't it say? What it doesn't say is work for your salvation. It does not say that, does it? You see, it says, but now, much more in my absence, work for your salvation. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, you must work for your salvation. You must do good deeds for your salvation. It does not say that. And so just because the word work is used, it does not use it in a way that say that this was a method of salvation. There is nothing in that verse that implies that working is a method unable to obtain salvation. It just does not say that. It says, work it out. It does not say, work for it. And remember, God the Holy Spirit wrote this. God is precise. He knows what he's saying. We should never make a verse of Scripture say something or mean something that it obviously does not say. Now, when you're looking at difficult verses, another thing you want to do is always see what else he says. Always see what else he says. Because you know what? If you would just say, well, I'm going to meditate on work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, I'm going to keep thinking about that, thinking about that, thinking about that, that is not going to bring you to a conclusion. We've already looked at, you should look at what comes before it and what comes after it. That's very important. Because otherwise you will not understand what it says unless you look at the rest of it. No scriptures of any private interpretation. What does that mean? That a phrase or a sentence does not stand alone without all the rest of Scripture. Let me give you an example of that. Let's suppose that you go down to the store and you purchase a VCR. A VCR, I'm saying that right. That's that big machine, right? Is that a VCR? Right? Or is it the thing you put in at the VCR? No, that's the tape. All right, the VCR, right? You go down to the store and you purchase the VCR. Now, you bring it home, all right? You bring it home. It's got a whole bunch of, you know, wires in the back of it, you know, and there's places in your television. And you say to yourself, well, I got to hook this thing up. And maybe you say, well, I can't hook it up. So, you know, so you call the local electrician, John Waring, and he comes over and he puts the wires in there and he hooks it up for you. Now you got it hooked up and you think, yeah, I'm in business. Now you see a whole bunch of buttons, you know, there's a remote control. You know, so listen, do you think that if you open the instruction book and you skip over the first two pages and you get to 2B, and you read 2B. It's a half a sentence. You read 2B, a half a sentence. Do you think you're going to understand how to make that VCR work? Now, you know you're not. You know that. See, I gave that illustration because I'm sure most of you have a VCR, and I'm sure most of you, I mean, some people have VCRs for 5, 8 years. Still don't know how to program them, right, Jim? Yeah. All right. So, if you read 2B in that instructions, you see what I mean? Or 2C or 2D, or just one of them, do you think you're going to be able to understand it? You might say to me, I read the whole thing and I don't understand it. But the fact is, you know that one line out of the instruction manual is not going to give you the information you need to understand how to make that thing operate. It's exactly the same thing with Holy Scripture. You just can't take a line that looks a little bit different than what you thought it should have looked like and dwell on it and say, I'm going to understand it or I'm going to make a doctrine out of it. That would even be worse. You say, but to say I'm going to understand it. Now, therefore, if we're going to understand a verse, remember, the verse does not stand alone, and so there is probably a lot of great information before the difficult part and after the difficult part that is going to shed light on it to help you understand it. So let's follow through a few more words, verse 14 and 15. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, if you get the idea that the apostle is saying something in this passage of Scripture from 12 to 15, it's going to help you understand things. If you think he only said, work out your own salvation, it's not going to help you understand things. You know, when I get up to preach, I preach for 40 minutes and I preach a whole entity. I did not get up and speak 2,000 words so that the listener would go away and just only remember a phrase out of those 2,000 words, unless it was the theme phrase. You see, I spoke a whole 2,000 words that the 2,000 words might benefit people. Not just that some abstract 10 words, you know, might be remembered. You know, preacher says, oh yeah, I had a flat tire here. Oh, by the way, I had a flat tire coming down here tonight. You know, and I remember I had about the flat tire. I don't remember about anything else. You see, the apostle didn't just write 5 or 6 words. He's writing all of these words to get a message across to you. Now, notice verse 14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. If you do that, that's one of the ways you'll let your salvation show. Isn't that right? You know, no matter where you go, no matter where you go, the lost gripe and complain. Isn't that right? The always gripe and complain. If you're on a job, those that are not the bosses will gripe and complain about the bosses. Isn't that right? They'll gripe and complain about the decisions that the management makes. Isn't that right? They will gripe and complain. They will gripe and complain about everything. Now, that's what the lost do. They gripe and complain. If you happen to be working in an atmosphere where everybody is griping and complaining, but you don't, you would stand out, wouldn't you? You would stand out. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Disputing is arguing about. Some people argue about everything. Anything that comes along, they argue about. You ever meet people like that? I'm sure you know people like that. I mean, you could take a position you know they don't even believe in, and they'll argue with you. They'll argue the other side. Because, you know, the dispute. Do all things without murmuring. And this is what he said to the child of God. But before he said that, you know what he said? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. God is working in you. You are to work it out. To let it show would be another word to say it. Let your salvation show. Because God is working in you, it should show. And one of the ways it would show is do all things without murmuring or disputing. And do you think that's forcing it a little bit? I don't think it's forcing it, and I'll tell you why. That you may be blameless and harmless sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. There he goes again. See, he says, do all things without murmuring or disputing. So that you'll look a certain way in a crooked and perverse nation, no, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's the message. You'll shine as lights in the world if you're not doing the murmuring and disputing, and you'll be blameless before God, among whom you shine as lights. He says, work out your own salvation. If you do work out your own salvation, you won't be murmuring and disputing. You'll be shining as a light. Now, that's what I believe that passage of Scripture means. It's a difficult passage of Scripture. Absolutely sure, you can't always tell. You know what it's not because you know what the Word of God teaches. But the Word of God says something, and it follows it up with all of these other verses of application. If you work it out, you'll shine as a light. All right, now, number one, ask the Lord to help you understand. Number two, meditate on it. How do you meditate on it? By breaking down the passage of Scripture. See what it says before it, see what it says after it, see what it says, see what it's not saying. And then see those portions that are something that you could actually do. In this case, he says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. That's very easy. So we have one that's doctrinal that you're working on understanding in your meditation. And then there's those things that you can do. Now, that's meditating on it. So meditating on it isn't just think about it for a while. It's actually breaking it down in your mind to see what it says and what it doesn't say and what it tells you to do. All right. Then number three, we have application. Now you want to write down. Number three is application. You want to write down what you're going to do about it. See? You want to write it out. If you just think about it, it's going to go. But if you write it out, you got a chance. You think about it, it'll be forgotten. But if you write it out, you've got a chance to remember it. Now, you should have four things when you write it out that you should be thinking about. Number one, it should be personal. Number two, it should be practical. Number three, it should be possible. Number four, it should be provable. All right, number one, personal. Personal means, when you write it out, you say, this is what I aim to do in light of this verse. That's personal. It has I'm going to do. It's not for somebody else, for me. Right? Practical. Practical means it is something that you will do rather than a doctrine that you would have seen. Now, there'll always be doctrine there, but the doctrine leads to something you do. In this particular case, he says, work out your own salvation, for God worketh in you. God worketh in you is a doctrine, but the next verse says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. So there's something that you can do. Practical. Then it should be possible. It should be possible to do it. This business of working out your salvation that's within you, working it out in the open so that people will see it, it's not always easy, but so it may take time. Let's take number 14 again. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. That may take some time. You say, all right, what I'm going to do now is, from now on, I'm not going to be a murmurer, I'm not going to be a complainer, and I'm not going to get involved in arguing and disputing. Now, that may take some time. It may be so ingrained in you to do these things. They may come so automatically in you. I mean, some people, that's most of what their conversation is. But that shouldn't be the case when you're saved. So you recognize that. You recognize the Bible says, you know, to do all things without complaining and disputing. So you say, well, it's got to be possible to do it. But for it to be possible, it may take some time. So you give it over to the Lord and say, well, this is what, you know, I'm not going to do these things anymore. And when I do them, Lord, remind me, I'm going to recognize it, and I'm going to rein myself in, and I am going to stop doing it. Now, it is possible. God wouldn't tell us not to do it if it wasn't possible. So therefore, we could say that we will do it. There would be things in the Word of God that you might find that were not possible for you to do because maybe God was asking someone else to in the Word of God to do it. I don't. The Lord didn't ask you to raise your hands and have the sea part open. It would be silly to go around and say, well, you know, the application here as I'm reading about Moses is I'm going to hold my hands up every time I get to water and I want to see it part. That would not be possible, so you wouldn't do it. And then number four, it should be provable. Provable means you're going to set up some way to measure your progress. And that's what makes this thing really interesting. That's what takes this Bible study method out of the ordinary, because you're going to measure some way to find out whether you're making progress or not. That's very, very interesting. Am I making progress? And, you know, there's any numbers of way you can do that, but you've got to measure. If you don't measure it, you know, be lost. So you want to see, you know, let's say at the end of a month, have I made any progress? Maybe I'd do it this way. Maybe I'd say, well, Sandra, this is my Bible study, and this is something I'm going to concentrate on, and I'm going to concentrate on this particular behavior out of my Bible study, and you tell me at the end of the month when I ask you whether I accomplished that or not. That would be measurable, wouldn't it? That would be measurable. You see, you find a way that whatever you plan to do will be measurable. Now, you can see that if you do these things, if you meditate on it, you break down these verses, if you then make application by writing down exactly what you're going to do and how you're going to measure it, you can see that you could be a different person. You could be a different person. And then number four is memorize. Memorize. Now, what verse would you memorize here? Well, you know, I would especially memorize if the thing I was going to do was be a person who's going to do all things without murmurings and disputings, I would memorize that verse. That's not usually a typical memory verse. Most memory verses that people memorize are salvation verses. That's good because you want to be able to quote them to lost people. And also there are certain verses that are verses of comfort, you know. God works all things together for good for them that love God and are called according to His purpose. You know, that's for comfort. Those kind of verses we memorize. But this would be a good verse to memorize. I mean, you can memorize it and then say, well, you know, when I'm driving the kids to the bus, you know, I'll start thinking of this. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. You say, or I'm driving to work. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. If it's memorized and you keep memorizing it and they keep coming back into your mind, then who knows when you're just about to open your mouth to complain. It might shoot back up there and say, do all things without murmuring and disputing. And it'll be a reminder from the Spirit of God that's working within you that you're to work out your salvation by now keeping your mouth shut. So that's how you do a devotional Bible study method. Read the passage, ask the Lord to help you understand. Meditate on it, break it down. Make the application and desire to bring about that application. And whether it's a month, 2 months, or 3 months, say somewhere along the line, I want to make that behavior part of my Christian life, and then memorize a verse of Scripture. If you do those things, I think you can see from listening tonight that you would be a different person, and it would bring blessing into your life. And if it brings blessing into your life, and you do something like this, I'm sure you'll be blessing to others also. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, we come before Thee now. And Lord, as we have looked at the Holy Scripture and we have looked at light in a wicked and perverse and corrupt generation that we live, Lord, we just trust Thee now for blessing as we continue. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, please get your prayer.